So I tell the parson all that I had, and he says, God bless you, God bless you, my lad. Oh, it's himself that knew me very so, and me so young and him so old, and all the good talk and never fear, and leave it to him, and he'd bring me clear, and Anthony wanted speaking to, and on with the hat, and away he'd go. And young Mr. Taylor, a son of old Dan, was a very intelligent young man. Easy parson, says I, and he went. And all the road home, intelligent, I said. What's that? Some pretty name for a... Dang it, these parsons is just like cream, they are talking that smooth. Oh, it's well to be civil. A son of old Dan's? And Dan was a divil. That was a Monday. A Thursday night, the parson come, and bless me the fright the old woman was in, and wiping the chair and nudging and winking. Is Thomas there? He says. Can I see him? So up I got, and out at the door, and I put a knot on me heart, like one of you when he takes a turn and belays and howls on till it breaks. And, well, I says. Then he looked at me, and, have you your pipe, Thomas? Says he. Maybe you'd better light it, he said. It's terrible good to study the head, and he wouldn't take rest till I had it lit, and he twists and twists and... Wait a bit, he says, and he feels, and... We're all alone, says he, and behow ye, a pipe of his own. And I'll smoke too, he says, and he charges, and puffs away like Benages. I never knew the lick was at him afore, and so we walked along the shore. And if he didn't behove to spin a yarn about the stars and Aldebaran and Orion, and just to consider the grand way God had put them together, and wasn't it a good world after all, and what was man and the Bible and Paul, till I got quite mad and I says, that'll do, we at the brew, parson, we at the brew. Ah, then it all come out. And the jaw old Anthony had, and the courts, and the law, and Jane McGee and her mother both, he had gone there twice, but she stuck to her oath, and what could he do? I'm going, says I. Keep up your heart now. I'll try. Good night, and mind you'll go straight to bed. God bless you, Tom.
And you, sir, I said.
Come up in the morning.
Good night, good night.
Now mind you'll come.
All right. All right.
And it's into the house. And the mother, I says, I'm off.
What off, says she, if you please. Off,
what off, says she, you slink. And she was sharpening a knife upon the sink, and she flung it down, and she looked that way straight and stiff, and,
what did you say?
Off, off where? And the sting of a light snapped quick in her eye. All right, I says, and away to the chiss I goes. Stand by, I cried, I want me clothes. And I hauled them out. Oh, she gave a leap, and leave them alone, she says, you creep. And she scutched them up, and she whisked about as lithe as an eel, and still looking out over her shoulders, and eyeing me like a flint or some dead thing. Let be, mother, I says, let go, you'd better. Oh, then if she didn't begin, no matter. And she threw the things upon the floor, and she stamped them, and down on her knees, and she tore and ripped and ragged and scrunched away. Oh, hands and teeth, I'll be bound to say, them shirts was 18 pence the yard, real good shirts. Oh, the woman was hard. Hard she was, and lusty and strong. I've heard them say when she was young she could lift 100 weight and more, and there wasn't a man in the parish could throw her. And as for shearing and picking potatoes, oh, well, she bet all, and all was as neat as a pin, and taking a pride in it, for they are some owl women, they are hardly fit, they are that dirty and stupid and messing and mudding. I wouldn't live with the lick, no, I wouldn't, but yonder woman, asleep or awake, was a clean owl crather and no mistake, but hard, oh, hard, for the owl man died. And she looked, but she never cried. And him laid out the sweetest bran, and everything white, like a gentleman, and brass nails, bless you, and none of your stirrets, but proud in herself, and sarving the spirits. And Mistress Baines now, was he prepared?
God knows,
says she. Oh, the woman was hard.
But if you could have prized the hatches of that strong soul, you would have seen the catches she made at her heart, choked up to the brim, and you'd have knew she was as dead as him. But mind me, from that very day the juice of her life, as you may say, was clean dried out of her, and she got as tough and as dry and as hard as a knot. Hard, but handy, and going still, not troubling much for good or ill, like the moon and the stars God only touched once long ago, and away they scutched, and now he never minds them a bit, but they keep going on, for they're used of it. Going on? Well, she did go on that night, and up from the floor and her back to the light of the fire. It was burning middling low, and the candle capsized, and she looked to grow that big in the dark, and never a breath but standing there like the shadow of death. Never a breath for maybe a minute, just like a cloud with the thunder in it. Dark and still till its powder bags burst and the world is blown to rags. Oh, she gave it them with the taste, she did. And was it that flippity-flappity flit of a Betsy Lee? And she knew well enough what I'd come to at last with me milking and stuff and sniffing about where I hadn't no call, and the lines hanging rotten upon the wall, and the boat never moored, and grinding her bones to sawdust upon the cobbling stones, and the people talking. And who were the Lees? Who were they now, after all, if you please? Who were they to cock their nose? And Lee's old wife with her strings and her bows and her streamers and trimmings and pippin' and poppin', her stupid owl head like a hen with a toppin'. And had they forgot when they lived next door? A lazy lot, and as poor as poor. And Mrs. Baines, the beautiful tay you've got, and I really think I'll stay, and could you lend me a shillin'? Till tomorrow, and borrow, 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 aye, and starving, and him doing nothing for hours but poking about with his herbs and his flowers, the ligament tree, the dirty old boch. And now it was Mr. Lee, my gough. Mr. and Mistress Lee in the gig, make way, good people, oh, terrible big. And would I demean myself to them, ye silly billy, for shame, for shame. And at it again, and what she would rather, and me the very spit of my father. And what was the matter with Jinny McGee? Your wife, your wife, and why shouldn't she be? She was good at the work, and worth 100 of your Betsy things, and why should we be sundered? And Jinny and her would agree, never fear her. Oh, she was desperate, though, to hear her. Hush, mother, I says, oh, mother, hush. And she turned to the fire, and I saw her brush the tears from her eyes, and I saw the working of her back, and her body jerking, jerking. And I went, and I never said nothing like, but I put my arm around her neck, and I looked in her face, and the shape and the strength and the very face itself had went all into one, like a sudden thaw, slished and slushed, or the way you've saw the water bubbling and swirling around the place where a strong man have gone down. And I took her and put her upon the bed like a little child, and a poor old head on me breast, and I hushed her and stroked her chin, talking little talk, the way they speak to babies, I did. And then I begun to think of yonder Absalom, and David crying, my son, my son. And the moon come round, and the light shone in and crept on her face, and I saw the thin she was, and the war, and her neck all dried and shrivelled up like strips of hide. And I thought of the time it was as warm and as soft as Betsy's, and her husband's arm around it strong and loving, and me a cuddled up and a sucking free. And I cried, like Peter in the Testament, when Jesus looked at him, and out he went and cried like a fool and the cock a crowing, but what there was in his heart there's no knowing. And I swore by the living God above I'd pay her back, and love for love, and keep for keep, and the wages checked, and her with a note and all correct. Then I kissed her, and she never stirred, and I took my clothes, and without a word, I snicked the door, and by break of the day, I was standing alone on Douglas Quay. I shipped foreign, of course, and a fine ship too, China-bound, the Waterloo. Captain Davis, the time I joined her.
Carry on, Davis.
Aye, I thought you'd mind her. A tight little ship and a tight little skipper. Hadn't we a race with the Liverpool Clipper, the Marco Polo, that very trip? And it's my opinion that if that ship... But never mind. She done her duty. And the Marco Polo was a beauty. But still, close hold, you see. Well, well, there's odds of ships, and who can tell? That was my ship anyway, and I was aboard her 2 years to a day. And back, though, for all, and her a-discharging and the hands paid off. So you'll easy imagine the keen I was for home, and the tracks I made right away, and no one to ax nor nothing. And surely hadn't I heard from nobody? Bless you, not a word. It was dark when I come upon the street, and my heart hung heavy on me feet, and all turned in, but in the old spot a light was burning still, and the hot I felt, and the choking, and over the midden, and up to the pane, and her face half hidden, and her sure enough, and the owl arm chair, and as straight as a reed, and terrible spare, and the needles twinkling cheerily, and a brave big book spread out on her knee. The Bible, thinks I, and I was really pleased, for it's a great thing to get owl people aised in their minds with the lecker yonder, and tracts and hymns. It studies them, though, and slacks their souls, and softens their tempers, and stops their coughing, as good as any drops. And if they don't understand what they are reading, the poor owl things, it's a sort of a feeding. Chewing or suction, what's the odds? One weighs man's, and the other God's. But how about Betsy? Well, wait a bit, how about her? Aye, that was it. And what a man knows, you see, he knows. So I lifts the latch, and in I goes. Mother, I says, oh, then the spring she gave, and says she, it's a scandalous thing, she says, coming back in there very closest, and it's bad enough, but I'll have no ghosts. Be off, says she, be off, be off. Well, I really couldn't help but laugh. I'm Thomas Baines, your son, I said, I'm not a ghost. And, aren't you dead? No, I says, and I took and give her a kiss. Is that like a ghost? Well, I can't say it is. And Betsy, mother, the Luke, Betsy, mother, the woman shook, and she spread her arms, and I staggered to her, and I fell upon my knees on the floor, and she wrapped me head in her brat, d'ye hear? For to see a man crying is middling queer. And then, me mates, then I knew what a man that's backed by the divil can do. For hadn't this tailor come one day and tell them I was drowned at sea, and owl Anthony Lee, that might have knew better, never axed to see the letter nor nothing, but talked about Providence. And the men at the shore, they hadn't a sense, and the parson, as simple as a child. And that's the way the villain beguiled the lot of them, for they didn't know what to do or where to go. As if there wasn't no owners, nor agent, nor Lloyds, where they might have heard a mediant. And Betsy, be sure, heard all before long. They took care of that, and then ding-dong, night and day the old people was at her, and would she marry Taylor, and chitter-chatter, and never a word from Betsy Lee, but it cannot be, it cannot be, and thinner every day, and paler, I've heard them say, and always doing the work and going, and early and late, and them never knowing, for all they thought theirselves so wise, that the girl was dying under their eyes. And to take advice and marry him now, a real good husband anyhow, and all is the one against the three, and it cannot be, it cannot be. One night he was there, and the words ran high, Al Peggy was telling, and let me die, she says. Let me die, she said. And they took her upstairs and put her to bed. And the doctor come. I knew him well, and he knew me. Old Dr. Bell, a nice old man, but hard on the drink, and the fond of Betsy, you wouldn't think. He used to say, but he'd never say more, her face was like one he'd seen afore. Oh, that's the man that had supped his fill of troubles, mind, but cheerful still, and a big, strong man. And he'd often say, well, Thomas, me lad, And when's the day? And would I be axing him up to the feed? The day, indeed. The day, indeed. So he went up all alone to see her, for Betsy wouldn't have nobody there except himself. And them that was standing and howling their breaths upon the landing could hear her talking very quick, and the doctor's voice uncommon thick. But what was said betwixt them two that time, there was none of them ever knew. God knows, and him, but the nether will tell. Ah, he was safe to trust, was Dr. Bell. But when he come down, "Is she really dying?" Owl Anthony said. But the doctor was crying. "And doctor, doctor, what can it be?" "It's only a broken heart," says he. "And he'd come again another day." And he took his glass and went away. And when the winter time come round, and the snow lying deep upon the ground, one morning early the mother got up to see how was she and give her a sup of tea or the like, and mates, how long? Betsy was gone, aye. Betsy was gone. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity. Suffer me to come to thee. That's the words I've heard her sing when she was just a little prattling thing. And I really don't think in me heart that ever she was different from that. No, never. Oh, he'd pity her simplicity. A child to God. A woman to me. Gentle Jesus, the sound is sweet, like you'll hear the little lammies bleat. Gentle Jesus. Well, well, well. And once I thought, but who can tell? Come, give us a drop of drink, the stuff a man'll put out when he's dry. That's enough. To hear me talking religion, eh? You must have thought it strange. You didn't, you say? You didn't? No? What? You didn't? You? Well, that'll do, me lads. That'll do. That'll do. So, of course, the burying terrible grand, and all in the papers, you'll understand. Elizabeth, daughter of Anthony Lee, and Mary, his wife, and 23. But bless me, you've seen the like afore, and the doctor waiting at the door, and wanting something. And could I see her? And yes, oh yes. And up the stair, and he looked, I've heard them say, like a man that's looking far away. And he kissed her cheek, and he shut the lid. That's what they tell me, the doctor did. But, however, you mustn't suppose, my men, that all this was tell me there and then. Oh, I thought I'd something to tell you, mind, that wasn't much in the spoony line. No, no, the words old mother said was, "Betsy is dead, Tom, Betsy is dead. And it's Taylor has killed her anyway, for didn't he tell you were lost at sea?" Nothing more. And up I sprung to my feet like a crather that had been stung, and I couldn't see nothing but fire and blood, and I reeled like a bullock that's got the thud of the slaughterer's hammer betwixt his horns. And claps of light and dark by turns, fire and blood, and round, till the blinding scud got thinner and thinner, and then I seen the old woman had hitched herself between my arms and her arms around my neck, and waiting, and wondering like. Or I flung her off. He'll die, this night, this very night, says I. He'll die before I'm one day older. And I stripped me arm right up to the shoulder. Look here, I says, hasn't God given the strength, I says, and by him in heaven and by her that's with him, hip and thigh, he'll die this night, he'll die, he'll die. No, no, says she, no, Thomas, no, for I was at the door in time and to go, and she coaxed and coaxed, and wouldn't it be better to speak to him first, or to write a letter? Will you go to the parson, says she. I laughed. Will you go to the parson? It's not his craft, I says, the work I've got to do is no parson's work. Will you go to the brew? Oh, when she said that, I made a run, but she held me, and oh, my son, and crying and howling on to me still, will you go to the parson? Yes, I will, if that'll give you any content. Not another word, but away we went, and her in the dark a-keeping a grip of me jacket for fear I'd give her the slip, and a-pegging away with her poor old bones, and stumbling and knocking agin the stones. And neither the good nor the bad was said, and the one of us hadn't a thing on our head, and the rain it rained, and the wind it blew. Ah, the woman was hard, but the woman was true. "Mrs. Baines," says the parson, "Mrs. Baines, Mrs. Baines, will you please tell me what this means?" And as white as a sheet, and he cuts a caper, and he drops the specs, and he drops the paper, and backs, and gets under the lee of a chair. I'm blessed if the parson didn't look queer. I really thought he was going to fall, and says, "Mother, he isn't dead at all, don't be freckened." And, holy Moses, wasn't he paid to look after ghosts? Ah, then the joy he took of me. "I'm the only one saved from the wreck," says he. "What wreck?" I said, "there wasn't no wreck, just tailor's lies," and I cussed him like. "For shame then, Thomas," and up she stood. "Let him cuss," said the parson, "it'll do him good." And the look he gave, and the sigh and the sob, and he saw in a minute the howl of the job, and he tried to speak, but he wasn't able. And I laid me head upon the table quite stupid like. And then them two began to talk, and I hardly knew what was it they said, but "the little drop," I heard, and "you'll excuse him," and "woman, stop, the lad is drunk with grief," he said, and he come, and he put his hands on me head, and the poor owl fingers as dry as chips, and the pity a-tricklin' off their tips, and making me all as peaceable. Oh, the parson was kind and loving still, full of wisdom and love and blessing. Oh, it's kind and loving, was the parson. So at last, you see, whatever they had, I didn't say nothing, good or bad, and they settled betwixt them what would I do, and neither to go to the town nor the brew, but off to sea again, aye straight, and if I could, that very night. So they roused me up, and "me and your mother," the parson says. "Oh, you needn't bother," says I. "All right, and then I'll be bail." I took it grand out of Parson Gale. "Now, parson," I says, "you know your man, and a son of Al Dan's too, a son of Al Dan." We were at the door, just ready to go. Oh, the parson couldn't help smiling, though. "A son of Al Dan's, aye, just that way." "A son of Al Dan's, eh? Billy, hey?" Well, I kept my word, and off at once, and shipped on a coaster owned in Penzance. But it was foreign I wanted, so very soon I joined the Hector, bound for Rangoon. Ah, mates, it's well for flesh and blood to stick to a lass that's sweet and good, leastways if she sticks to you, you know. For then, me lads, blow high, blow low, on the stormiest sea and the darkest night, a love is a star that'll keep you right. But there wasn't no sun nor star for me, drinking and tearing and every spree. And if I couldn't keep the divil under, I don't think there's many of you will wonder. Well, divil or no, the Hector come home. We raced that trip with the flying foam, and up the river the very same tide, and the two of them berthed there, side by side. A tight run that. And the whole of it stuck in the paper, logs and all, good luck, and the cap'n as proud, and me like a fool spreeing away in Liverpool. And lodgings, of course, for I never could stand them sailors' homes. For a man is a man, and a bell for dinner, and a bell for tea, and a bell to sing, and a bell to pray, and a bell for this, and a bell for that, and wipe your feet upon the mat, and the rules hung up, and find if you're late, and a chap like a bobby shutting the gate. It isn't reasonable, it isn't. They calls it a home, I calls it a prison. Let a man go wherever he chooses. Old Mother Higgins is the house that I uses, Jem Higgins is with her. You'll be bound to know her. Clane, but not particular. There's Quiggins's too, next door but one. Not Andrew, of course. But Rumpy John, she's a decent woman enough as Nancy. But Higgins has allus took my fancy. There's some comfort there, for you just goes in and down with the watch and down with the tin, and sleeping and waking and eating and drinking and out and in and never thinking and carrying on till all is blue, and your jacket is gone and your waistcoat too. Then, of course, you must cut your stick, for the woman must live, however thick you may be with her. And I'm told there's houses where the people will let you drink your trousers, but Higgins's, never, and it isn't right. Shirt and trousers, honour bright. But mostly afore it come to the spout, I'd ax if the money was all run out, and she'd allus tell me whether or no, and I'd lave me chiss, and away I'd go. And so this time, I took the street, and I walked along till I chanced to meet a shipmate somewhere down in Wapping. And what was I doing, and where was I stopping, and blow it all, here goes the last copper, and into a house to get a cropper. It was one of them dirty, stinking places, where the people is not a bit better than bases, and longshore lubbers are shamming to fight, and Jack in his glory, and Jack's delight with her elbows sticking outside of her shawl like the ribs of a wreck, and the divil and all, and childer cussing and sucking the gin. God help them craythers, the white and the thin. But what took me eye was an owlish woman in and out and going and coming, and heavy feet on the floor overhead. And she's a longer dying, there's some of them said. Dying, says I. Yes, dying, says they. Well, it's a rum place to choose to die in, eh? Ah, the old woman was up and she cussed very bad, and choosing, there's not much choosing, my lad. And what's her name, says I, says she. If you want to know, it's Ginny McGee. Oh, never believe me, but I took the stair, and where have you got her? Where, where, where? Turn to the right, says she, you muff. And there was poor Ginny. Sure enough, there she was lying on a wisp of straw, and the dirt and the rags you never saw, and her eyes, oh, them eyes, and her face, well, well, and her that had been such a handsome girl. Tom Baines, Tom Baines, is it you, is it you? Oh, can it be, can it be, can it be true? Well, I couldn't speak, but just a nod. Oh, it's God that sent you, it's God, it's God. And she gasped and gasped. Oh, I wronged you, Thomas, I wronged you, I did, but he made me promise, and here I'm now, and I know I'll not live. Oh, Thomas, forgive me, oh, Tom, forgive. Oh, reach me your hand, Tom, reach me your hand. And she stretched out hers, and I think I'm a man, but I shivered all over, and down by the bed, and hush, hush, Ginny, hush, hush, I said. Forgive you? Yes. And I took and pressed her poor weak hand against me breast. Look, Tom, she said. Look there. Look there. And a little bundle beside a chair. And the little arms and the little legs and the round, round eyes as big as eggs and full of wonder. And that's the child, she says. And she smiled. The woman smiled. So I took him up, and his name? It's Simmy. And the little frock and the little shimmy, and starved to the bones. So listen to me, listen now, listen, Ginny McGee. By him that made me, Ginny Ben, this child is mine forever. Amen. And Simmy, I says, remember this. And I put him to her for her to kiss, and then I kissed him. But the little chap, of course, he didn't understand the rap. And I turned to Ginny, and she tried to rise, and I saw that death light in her eyes, clasped hands, clenched teeth, and back with her head. Aye, Ginny was dead, boys. Ginny was dead.
Come here, I says. And I stamped on the floor. And up the old woman come, to be sure. See after her, I says, old Suki. And all very well, she says. But looky, you gives yourself terrible airs, young man. Come now, what are you going to stand? But
But I took the child, and says I, I'm going. Indeed, she says, and money owing, and the people be expecting a drop of drink and cussing, and who was she, did I think, and the burying too, for the matter of that. Out of the way, says I, ye cat, and down the stair, and out at the front, and the loblolly boy shouting, down with the blunt, and a squaring up, and a looking big, and hold him, down with him, here's a rig. Stand back, ye Irish cur, stand back, says I, for there wasn't a man in the pack. Stand back, ye cowards, or I'll soon let ye see. So off we went, little Simmy and me. Is that him there asleep? Did you ax? Aye, the very same, and them's the facts. And now, me lads, you'll hardly miss to know what poor little Simmy is. Bless me, it's almost like a dream. But the very same, the very same. Grew, of course, and growing, understand ye. But you can't keep them small again, nature, can ye? Look at him, John. The quiet he lies, and the fringes combing over his eyes. I know I'm a fool, but feel that curl. Oh, he's the only thing I have in all the world. Well, on we marched, and the little thing wasn't so heavy as a swallow's wing. A poor little bag of bones, that's all. He'd have broken too if I'd let him fall. And I tried all the little words I knew and acting the way that women do, but bless you, he wouldn't take no rest but shoving his little head in me breast. For though I had lived so long ashore, I never had carried a child before, and not a farling at me, so the only plan was to make tracks straight off for Whitehaven, and chance a lugger loading there, or heaps of them yonder, never fear. And the first time ever I begged was then, and the women... It's really worse till the men. Be off, says me lady, be off, you scamp. I never gives nothing to a tramp. So I made her a bow, for I learned with me letters to order myself to all me betters. But when the sun got low in the sky, little Simmy began to cry. Hungry, I says, and over a gate and into a field, and wait then, wait. And I put him sitting upon the grass. Dear, oh me, the green it was, and the daisies and buttercups that was in, and him grabbing at them astonishing. So I milked a cow, and I held me cap, and I give it to the little chap, and he supped it hearty enough to sweep, and stretched hisself, and off to sleep, had a juiced good supper and nothing to pay, and over the hills and far away. So by hook or by crook or however it was, I got down to Whitehaven at last, and a Ramsey lugger, they call the map, Jemmy Corkle, I knew the chap. Hello, says I. Hello, says he, it's yourself that's been on the divil's spree, and a baby at you too, my word. All right, says I, and heaves him aboard. And bless his soul, the fun and a child in. So that's the way I got to the island. I landed at Ramsey and started off the soonest I could, and past Balaff and Kirkmickle and the Ballacrane. I hadn't been there, I couldn't tell you the when. And you may think how he wasn't much of a load, but I was checked when I come on the mountain road, and I found a spot where the ling was high and terrible thick and soft and dry, and a big rock standing north-east by east, the way of the wind. Oh, a beautiful place. So I laid me down, and the child in me arms, and the quick little breath, and the dogs at the farms, and the curlews whistling passing by, and the noise of the river below, and the sigh of the mountain breeze, I kept awake. And a star come out, like a swan on a lake, white and lonely. And a sort of amazement got howled on me, and the leads of a casement criss-crossed on the sky like a window frame. And the long, long look, and the far it came. Oh dear, I thought it was Ginny McGee in heaven making signs to me. And sleep at last. And when I awoke, the stars was gone, and the day was broke, and the bees beginning to think of the honey, and who was there but little Sonny, loosed from me arms, and catching me hair, and laughing, and I laughed too, I'll swear. And says I, come, Simmy, me little buffer, you're small. But what is it saying? Suffer the little children to come unto me. So here goes, Simmy. And glory be, I said, and Our Father, and two or three little hymns I remembered, Let Dogs Delight, the first two verses middling right, and Little Boy with Cheerful Eye, Bright and Blue as Yonder Sky, and down, and taken the road to the Len. And the clear, the sun was shining then, and the little church, that white, and below, the stones, and, well, you know, you know. But at last I come to the shore, and I ran, for though it was early, I saw a man digging lug on the beach, and I didn't want to meet the leck, so I made a slant, and back and in by the Claddagh Lane, and round by the gable, Ned knows what I mean, and in at the door, and Mother, I said, Mother, but she was still in bed. Mother, look here, I cried, and I told her all how Jinny had died, and this was the youngster, and what I intended, and she heard me till me story was ended, and just like a stone. Oh, never a word, and me getting angry, till this little bird chirrups up with a crow and a leap, and Mammy Seepy, Mammy Aseep, just that baby way. Oh, then the flood of the woman's life come into her blood, and she stretched her arms, and I gave them to her, and she cried till she couldn't cry no more. And she took to him grand, though of course at fuss, her hand was out, you see, to nuss, but after dinner she had him as nice, and a singing, bless you, with her poor old vice. The sun was down when I left them a while, and up the Claddock, and over the stile, and into the old churchyard, and trying to find the place where Betsy was lying. It was nearly dark, but I wasn't alone, for I seen a man bending over a stone, and the look, and the heave of the breast, I could see it was a man, in his agony. And nearer, nearer, the head, the hair, the stoop, it was Taylor, Taylor, there. Oh, then it all come back again, all the trouble and all the pain, and the one thought in me head, him, there, at her grave. And I stopped, and I said, May Jesus save his soul, for his life is in my hand. Life for life, it's God's command, life for life. And I measured me step, so long he shall live. And I crept, and crept. Oh, the murderous creep. God give him grace, thinks I. Then to him, and looked in his face. Oh, that face. He raised it. It wasn't surprise. It wasn't fear that was in his eyes. But the look of a man that's fairly done with everything that's under the sun. Ah, mates. However it was with me, he had loved her. He loved her. My Betsy Lee. Taylor, I said, but he never spoke. You loved her, I said, and your heart is broke. And he looked, oh, the look. Come, give us your hand, I says. Forgive you? I can. I can. For the love that was so terrible strong, for the love that made you do the wrong. And with them words, I saw the star I tell you of, but brighter. Far. It wasn't Jinny, but Betsy now. Mr. Taylor, I says, we cannot tell how, but it was love. Yes, yes, it was love, and he's taken her to hisself above, and it's him that'll see that nothing annoys her, and
watch below, turn up.
Aye, aye, sir.
Betsy Lee, a fo'c'sle yarn by T.E. Brown, told by Dolan Kelly, music by Stephen Dallimore, production by Charles Gough.